Welcome, everybody. This is Jackie Mitchell, your PM professor, and I'm so excited today to be talking with you all. It is International Women's Day 2019, and the theme for Women's Day this year is Balance for Better. And it couldn't be a better theme. For those who listened to our last podcast, episode 4, we were talking about self-care, and it kind of wrapped into women's guilt around self-care. So Tiana and I, which I will introduce Tiana shortly, Tiana and I thought it would be a really great idea for International Women's Day that we bring the conversation up a little bit more and talk about women's guilt and help to empower you guys and give you tips on how to overcome that, because we see it every day in our interaction with women all the time in our respective fields. So let me introduce my guests. I have two very, very special guests with me. First, I have Tiana Doughton. I always mess up your last name, Tiana.
Doughton, you got it.
Doughton. Tiana Doughton. She was with us on a previous episode on self-care. She is a badass. She is a wellness coach, fitness coach, yoga instructor. Welcome, Tiana.
Thank you, Jackie.
And so I also have with me a very special guest. Her name is Lisette Mitchell, and if you are paying attention, we do have the very same last name because we are sisters. This is my sister, Lisette Mitchell. Lisette, say hello.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies.
So we are, and I invited my sister on because we have some really interesting conversations, and I thought it would be great to expose some of our conversations and link up with Tiana, because it's so funny that these two ladies separate and just today introducing them together have similar ideas and ideals. And I thought it would be a really cool conversation if we all three got together and started the conversation about women's guilt. So I want to kick off with a few things that we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about what it is and how to identify it, where it stems from, you know, our cultures, our societies, and talk a little bit about our own personal struggles with that, if we do have them. I know I do. And get into steps to overcome it. Right. So, you know, like I said previously, we talked about guilt as far as taking care in regards to self-care and what that means. And I want to go around our little table today and ask, what do you perceive as women's guilt? So, Lisette, let's start with you.
Thank you. So, I think in order to understand women's guilt, we have to understand what guilt is.
Right.
And for me, it's, of course, an emotive event that develops when an individual believes, accurately or not, that they are jeopardizing or dishonoring a universal moral standard or standards of conduct.
You know what?
So women's guilt...
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. No, what I neglected to let everyone know, my sister is a registered nurse. She's an RN. She is currently going after her, Lisette, what is it, your master's?
I am pursuing my master's degree in nursing technology, which will yield me a master's degree in nurse practitioner nursing.
Practitioner, exactly. So a lot of your, I would say a lot of your experience and answers may come from that, and, you know, from that perspective, being
right.
a medical professional and also personal as well, and of course being a woman. So I apologize for interrupting, but as you were saying, identifying what guilt is.
That's okay. Thank you. And yes, you have to identify what guilt is and understand that it is an absolutely real and visceral emotion that we feel when we feel as though we're actually committing an offense. And in this regard, it would be moral standards, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at women's guilt, that causes women to feel, dare I say, sad,
right,
for going against societal expectations placed on women.
Awesome. Awesome. Tiana, your take on what guilt is?
No, absolutely. It's just like piggybacking on that. It's like, you know, there's all these standards and expectations that women have to live up to. And it often feels that if you don't like to use, you know, your words, it's you've committed an offense. Like you've done
right.
some like horribly wrong thing to like the woman,
right.
not being the woman that you should be. And so, you know, that's definitely, I think, something that all women feel, whether it's in regards to like beauty standards or self-care or being the right kind of mom. It's like there's so many things that are like put on us. And I think, you know, that sometimes guilt is like legitimate. Sometimes it's like, oh, I did a wrong thing. Let me like say sorry, make up for it. But sometimes it becomes this unhealthy thing where it then spirals into like shame, like where it's like, I'm wrong as a person. Like we start to like internalize
exactly.
things, and we take on guilt or shame for things that we have no business taking on guilt or shame for, you know, like
right.
not living up to some arbitrary standard doesn't mean that you've actually done anything wrong, you know? So guilt or shame in those scenarios are sort of, you know, not what we should be putting on ourselves. So
exactly.
That's what I would say. Yeah.
So let's
and I agree. I totally, absolutely agree.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. Let's dive deep into where this guilt comes from. So, you know,
Tiana, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Lisa.
Go ahead.
Now I was just going to add my 2 cents.
So Tiana,
my half a cent, okay. because, you know, you're my sister, but go ahead. And by the way, she's my older sister.
I'm sorry.
I'm the little sister.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
See, this is our interaction. Told you it'd be funny. No, we fall into our birth order role. So I'll sit back and I'll let you speak, Lisa.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So Tiana hit on something so important. And that not only do women just feel ashamed, but they actually internalize it. Mm. And it becomes bigger than what it is. And it takes on a whole other form.
Exactly.
And it goes very deep. So exactly. For me, I have a historical view on this topic. So you could create a women's history timeline mm-hmm. to demonstrate how and why certain behaviors and ideas exist and prevail, right? So mid-1800s, women started fighting against all these oppressive directives. You had the suffragist movements that started to come about, and all of it culminated in Seneca Falls. Stanton, Susan B. Anthony,
right,
had a meeting in New York, and they presented what you call the Declaration of Sentiments. So in that, it outlined all of the oppressive ways in which women were treated. So when you're married, you're not allowed to have property. You have to obey your husband, the certain jobs in the church that you cannot partake in. You're not allowed to speak in public. You're not allowed to go to college. You're not allowed to go to universities. If you're single and you own property, they tax you different. So all of these things were happening. Women were fighting against that. Excuse me. And then finally, of course, decades later in the 1920s or 1920 specifically, 19th Amendment is ratified and we're allowed to vote. So you have women dealing with all of this baggage, and you have to remember the prevailing idea at that point was that what women had to take care of all the domestic duties,
right?
Taking care of the home, raising the children. The men were the ones who were allowed to work.
So
we're not blaming men.
I do.
We're not blaming men. We're not blaming men, but what we're saying is if you're in that climate where you are actually designated to a certain role and you try to step out of that box, mm-hmm. you're definitely going to get pushback from society. Mm-hmm. So now later on in the mid-1900s, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, we're now working, we're educated, we're doing things outside of the home. Right. There's a lot of baggage that comes with that. When you decide to live in your truth and you want to be PhD educated and you want to be a CEO, mm-hmm. but yet you have a husband and you have children, some women will experience guilt for that because, you know, supposedly we're supposed to be homemakers. So can you be a homemaker and be out in the world?
That's a debate.
That's the dynamic, yeah. Right? That's the dynamic when you try to live in your truth.
Right.
And so, and it even manifests when you're engaging in self-care activities. You're getting your toes done or you're getting a massage, but then you're looking at your watch.
Right. That's me.
Am I sitting here too long? Should I be doing this?
Right.
And so when you begin to take time to take care of yourself, there's even guilt attached to that.
You're at the movies
with your children. Go ahead.
Let me ask this question, though, because some may say, oh, we're so far from that. We're so far from Susan B. Anthony. We're so far from that. But I would beg to differ. You know, we're not, because in my opinion, and ladies, tell me what you think about this, it's been perpetuated generationally through our mothers, you know, going down the line. Like if you go back, you know, what were our mothers taught? What were their mothers taught? What were our grandmothers taught? Our great grandmothers, you know, coming from all of that, how was that brought down and where do we break that cycle, that chain? Have we really broken it? You know, are we teaching the next generation inadvertently these same things? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Tiana, what's your take on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think unless there's a conscious effort to break the cycle, it gets passed down. Culturally, it's like in the ethos, like you cannot even try,
right?
But like things are passed down. Like one of my clients recently told me that her daughter always asks her mom why her mom has to go, like, you know, mom, why do you go to work? But she never asks her father that.
Yeah.
And her daughter's
right.
Her daughter's 3 years old. And it's like at three, like how does she already know to ask her mom that question, but not her dad? And so it's something that's so permeated, like so many aspects of society, that it's picked up on at such a young age in these very, like, you know, it's not always explicit, these like implicit ways kids are learning and picking up on these things. So unless people are making very intentional choices to break that pattern, it just continues to go on.
And I agree.
Sometimes there's, you know, I think of like my own mother, for example, and I think in her mind, she kind of has this idea of kind of like women have like we fought enough and like we're good now, right, to an extent. Like she thinks that, you know, me as, you know, my millennial self, that, you know, I'm, you know, okay, you're asking a little bit too much now. You're being a little ridiculous or like whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I get it. You saw a lot of change in your lifetime. Like women did come a long way and maybe you think that's enough. But like now, my mom raised me. I'm like, I see your blind spots. I see the ways that we still have to grow and change. And you don't have to fight for it with me, but you do kind of got to get out of the way though.
Right. Agreed.
So I think that, you know, unless people are intentionally seeing their blind spots and like changing their patterns, like people just continue them, or they think, you know, we have enough now. We can just kind of stop here. You know,
I agree. I absolutely agree. And just, you know, in what you said regarding the three-year-old that observed what she observed, just to relate that to my everyday life, I'm in a room with the doctor. He's doing a procedure and all of the equipment that he used, he kind of bundled it nicely in a little package for me and left it on the table for me to dispose of. And so I'm in the room, the doctor is in the room, the respiratory therapist, the children and the parents, everyone is in the room and everyone notices what is happening. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening is the same thing that Susan B. Anthony was fighting for in the 1800s, it's happening in 2019 in that patient's room. Absolutely. And so instead of the doctor taking the garbage and throwing it away, he felt that it was my duty to take care of his mess, right? And so I think what needs to happen is there has to be a buy-in from everyone in society that we do not have gender roles. If you subscribe to that, I don't. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to be able to change the narrative and kind of begin to scrub away these ideas of what women should be and what they should be doing and what their roles should be. Like, everyone should try to change that narrative.
I have an interesting story along those lines. So you're talking in the medical field. I can bring this back, and those who are in corporate may very well relate to this. So as a project manager, a lot of times I have meetings, and I'll have meetings with a huge group of people, you know, and we'll do day-long meetings or morning meetings or what have you, and we'll bring in food or bring in coffee, whatever we bring in, right? We'll bring in food and have it catered. End of the meeting, all of the men leave. All of the men leave, and you see the women. It's not just me. We stay behind, and what are we doing? We're cleaning up. It's not even spoken. Right. You know what I mean? It's not even spoken. Right. Oh, so-and-so will do it. Oh, Jackie will help. It is almost like we fall into the role that we bring it to work with us, unfortunately. You know, the men will get up and leave the room, and they're talking to each other, and nothing is said. What's left in the room are the women who are cleaning up. And I think that is so profound, you know, and there was one meeting that I did where I realized it. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, why did I just naturally start taking the plastic cups off the table? You know what I mean? It just, for me, it was just so natural that I didn't even question them leaving. Like, all of them, literally all of the men left. I didn't even question it at the time. It was a second, or maybe more than a second. It was another time later on where I stopped. I said, oh my goodness, I'm bringing this to the office.
Right.
We're bringing it to the office. You know?
And because certain cues have been embedded so deeply.
Exactly. So deeply. Tiana, you were going to say?
Yeah, sorry. I was reading this article recently that was talking about the disparity between even like progressive men, like men who, you know, claim all the right things about, you know, women's rights and feminism and, you know, whatever, and they're very, these like progressive men, but how in their personal lives there's still this like huge gap between what they say and what they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true. And like, even amongst like me and like my friends who have like progressive, you know, Jack, you know, my husband's great. He's awesome. But at the same time, like, you know, just it defaults to me to handle most of like the like household stuff and like the logistics of like our schedules and getting we have groceries, making sure we have this, making sure we remember, you know, your parents' birthdays, making sure like all of these, you know, the emotional and household labor that just falls to women. And again, he's helpful, or, you know, our husbands are helpful people, but at the same time, you know, it's not seen as something that like they're doing us a favor when they do, not something that they should be actually an equal of managing, you know? So it's, I think it's a problem too, even like in the most progressive of relationships, sometimes it still is this like society, there's so much societal pressure and just pattern. It's been going on for so long now that of like, you know, so they saw their moms handle all the business of the house. So just kind of keeps going. And then yes, we bring it into our workplaces. We bring it because it's the pattern that we're used to repeating in our own lives over and over again.
How do we balance that,
though? And that's why it's important to be intentional. You have to be intentional about your actions and behaviors because it's almost unconscious.
Right.
How do you balance that without coming off as, dare I say, aggressive or too feministic, you know, the taboo word, or, you know, feminism? How do you balance that? How do you balance it?
It can be it can be problematic. Actually, it can be quite jolting when you're trying to stop a certain behavior. It can be jolting because it then becomes not the norm, and people notice it, mm-hmm. and people kind of step back. But because it's been normalized that women do this, men do that, it is going to be jolting. And so you have to figure out a way, I suppose, to maybe ease people around you into not continuing this behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you make it flow? That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Say to the doctor, you know what, doctor, you can clean up after yourself?
Yeah, I think it's like you can frame things like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to give the same answer I sort of gave last time when we were talking, when you asked me, what about for people who think it's selfish to like take, you know, to take time for yourself.
Yeah.
And I said, sometimes right. it can be a little bit selfish. And I'll say the same thing in this question too, that I think it's okay to be a little aggressive sometimes. Like, I think we're so trained from like a young age to like, to be like timid or docile,
you know what?
Or like appeasing.
Let's reframe that though. Maybe not aggressive, but assertive, because there's definitely
assertive.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe not aggressive, but like, cause I mean, you know, I'm not I don't like confrontation. I'm not like a mean person. Like, I don't think I'm an aggressive person either. Mm-hmm. But like, I do make a point, and I think it's okay to like call things out when they happen, and there's nothing right. wrong with being assertive in those scenarios. And right. you know, you can frame it in nice ways. It's the same way, you know, I get annoyed when I'm writing emails with somebody and I'm like, if I'm the superior, but I'm still kind of like cushioning all my words, like maybe you could, or just let me, you know, I'm cushioning all the rather so I don't sound too like demanding with it. So I've been trying to like stop doing that, like take those cushiony words out and like just be assertive and say what you mean to say. And you don't have to, and that's not mean. It's not being assertive is not being mean. Telling somebody what they need to do when it's your job to tell them what to do is not mean. It's not.
Right.
I so often think that it is, because I'm like, oh, if I don't make it sound super, super nice, then I must be being mean. But it's no different than how men speak. Like, you know, like
right. men,
but just, and maybe, and could you just, and you know, they don't speak like that. So it's like, why is it any different when I do? So I think that it's okay to be a little bit more direct and assertive when we need to be.
Right.
So what do you like, so for women who are married and this has been going on, or not even married, in relationships, and this has been, you know, it's been the norm. Like, how do you move out of that? Because I had a client once who just, she lost herself. Just really lost herself and was not taking care of herself. And she didn't know where to start. And I said, get your nails done, you know, get this, get that. And she really didn't know where to start, because her fear was making people around her think that she didn't love them anymore because she was putting herself first. So what do you say to that? Anybody?
I mean, yes, I would say, you know, I think you have a partner that buys in to your goals as well. You know, you
exactly.
have conversations, and you
exactly.
have to help, and you have to have a partner that understands,
exactly.
like, and is willing to step up to the plate. Because if you're fighting
absolutely.
Your partner at home, asking them for like help, or that you can have time for yourself, and they expect you to do all these things, then like, you know, then that's a different conversation. That's going to be a harder thing, and you should, you know, maybe
right.
evaluate who you're spending your time with, your life with, you know.
Agreed.
But I think
agreed.
It's a different case. Like, I think, like, in my own life, you know, like, Brandon, my husband, he very much, like, buys in to, like, you know, the help that I want, and, like, you know, divvying up tasks so I can have my own time, that he, you know, all these things. And sometimes, like, falls a little bit short because like it's just like ingrained in society, but he's already bought in. So we have the conversation. He's like, right, right, right. We get it together, and like there's continual progress, you know? So I think that mm-hmm. sure, first thing is like making sure that your partner is on the same team and has the same values that you do. And that whenever one of you like deviates from that, you have that as a touchstone to like come back to, be like, but we agreed on this. So it's just there as like an anchor, you know?
So Tiana is absolutely correct in saying that your partner has to buy in to what you're trying to do. So even though I am not in a relationship, I have a relationship with my children.
Right.
And so if I am engaging in activities that are considered self-care, then that is family care. Because if I am functioning well, the family functions well.
You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I tell moms all the time, if you're not, regardless if you're married or not, you know, if you have children, if you're not at your best for you, you cannot be of any help or of substance to your children, you know? So is putting yourself first and, detrimental? Right. No, I think it's of utmost importance. You know, it's not selfish. It's not selfish. You know, it really isn't selfish. You have to fill your tank because you cannot keep running on empty. You have to fill your tank. And however you fill your tank, you need to just do that so that you can be the best that you can be for you mentally, physically, spiritually. And then you can give and support and empower the people around you and your children, your spouse, your partner, whoever. Agree?
Right.
Right.
You know, so it
gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say it gets tricky because women in many instances are held to a different standard. And that in and of itself is problematic. And so even though we may feel that we're, you know, doing things that are not selfish, it may be viewed by others as selfish because we are placed in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I was saying it's important to really try to, you know, kind of scrub away these lines, because delineated gender roles causes problems for us.
So let's move it away from the men a little bit, and let's bring it on us. Maybe not us three, but on us as women, where we judge other women. You know, what do you say to that, on how some women view other women who do put themselves first? You know, it was very interesting. I have a little story really quickly. I love massages and I get my massage. Nothing will stop me from my massage, right? And people will say, oh, you're always at a massage. You're always doing a massage. You're always doing a spa day. And I say, and what? Because if I want to remain in a state where I am good, I need some sort of a release, you know? So I do other things, but for me, that physical touch that helps to relieve muscle pain helps me mentally and, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So I make sure that I take time every month, maybe twice a month, sometimes three times a month, you know, to do that. And I see sometimes when I make mention of that to certain women, I get that look. There's two looks that I get. I get, why are you doing that? Oh my God, you just went. Or I get, how are you able to do that? You know? Right. You know, so there's the two different sets of, why do you do that all the time? Why are you always? And then there's the set that looks at me, and some will even ask, how do you do that? I can't do that. And I say to both, I make sure that I do it. I deserve it. And I value myself to that utmost where I make sure that I put myself first. Ladies?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think of even something similar started when I was like in college. I told you a little bit about my story when I was on a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. just about how I gained a lot of weight in college, and then I got a trainer and, you know, I lost it and I was getting super active and healthy again. And when I started that journey and I was like working out like pretty much daily and like starting to eat healthy again, like I had at the time, I had four roommates. We all lived in a house together, and they were all super like not that supportive of me. And there was a lot of are you going to the gym too much? Or do you really need, are you really not going to eat any of that anymore? Like, are you just like, and there was just so much.
Wow.
Like, there was a lot of like badgering.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not like restricting my, I'm still eating a healthy number of calories. I'm like, I'm not like going, I'm just making a point to like start taking care of myself because I haven't for years.
Right.
And they all like I didn't really get any support. There was a lot of shame that came with that too. And they try to make me feel guilty for taking the time to do that. Cause you know, they'd be at home studying or like whatever. And like, I don't know if they were frustrated that like I was doing something for myself rather than just studying or like, I don't know what it was, but that was the first time that I felt a lot of that guilt coming from other women. And you know, that carries over still to this day. Women are taught to like compete and they're taught to like, well, if she's doing that then and I'm not, then you know, is she saying, does she feel like she's better than me? Like there's right. all these like thoughts that can be going on in someone's mind. And we don't really know what's, you know, all the details of what that is. But it's a very real thing, that comparison from other women and that judgment from other women can be like the biggest factor. Right.
I think that judgment is real. I mean, right. it is heavy and it is real, you know. We compete really bad. They, you know, they said men are very competitive. I would say women are just right up there along with each other, you know, with each right. other. It could be right. really, really bad, you know? So Lisette, what are your thoughts on that?
So when I think about women competing in unhealthy ways, mm-hmm. like with what you said and with what Tiana was describing to me, I think about, it's this thing that women fall into. Mm-hmm. I call it the, who does she think she is?
Oh, right? My goodness, yes.
Because, and there could be many, many reasons why women do this to other women, but I feel as though it has something to do with that woman not being able to achieve what she wants to achieve.
Yes.
And so who do you think you are for right. doing what I want to do?
Oh my goodness. You just struck a chord.
That I'm not able to do for what that, reason? For,
that I'm not able to
and
do. All, for
and
reason.
Also too, exactly. And also too, you know, again, if you want to pull it from a historical perspective, we're supposed to be home. We're supposed to be the children. We're really not supposed to be taking care of ourselves, right. per se. And so all of a sudden, you have the nerve to put time into you. How dare you?
How dare you?
Right.
Right? And like, who do you think you are? And so that goes total opposite from what we're supposed to be, which is not who we are today.
Right.
And so it's, I think it goes deeper than, you know, deeper than what we think, to be quite honest.
Absolutely.
Let's go deeper then, Lisette. Where do you think it is? Let's go deeper.
Honestly, I think it's psychological. I think mm-hmm. this is centuries and centuries of being oppressed and being told that we can only do a certain thing and you can only go so far. And so now I feel like we are experiencing a lot of the residual of that. Now we can go to school now. We don't even have to have children if we don't want to.
Right.
Right? Back in the day, women are supposed to have children. And if they have girl children, they would look down on the girl children and hold the boy children in high esteem. Nowadays, you don't even have to have children. You can go to school, or you don't have to go to school, and actually, you can do whatever you want. Really?
Right.
You don't even have to go to the supermarket, and you don't have to do this or do that. You generally have a lot of freedom to do absolutely nothing.
Right.
Way back when, we did not have that luxury. We were on a schedule. We had to produce and we right. had to do certain things. And now we're for the most part out of that. We have a lot of freedom. And I think now when we begin to do different things, people are kind of looking at other women like, what is wrong with you? Or why are you doing that? Or how dare you? Or if you do have children and you aspire to be CEO or to run your own thing, you know, you will hear things like, well, what about your kids?
Right. And no one asks or, that. But
what about your husband?
Right.
You know,
right.
I think it's absolutely psychological. I think it goes way back from the beginning of time. And we are now dealing with this. You know, when we're at work and we're having meetings, you know, you will see grown men say to grown women, "That's my girl."
Oh,
to
right.
me, that's condescending.
We're getting called
that is condescending.
Sweetheart, all that kind of stuff.
All of it. Dear, honey.
Honey.
That is condescending.
I've been called they, all of it.
You know, they pat you on the back.
Yeah.
Or they look, or they're like, you know, tap you on the shoulder. I see that a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, kind of telling you where your place should be, know, and so you're going to see a lot of pushback when women are out in the forefront, and men, I think, and not even all men, but a lot of women also want to remind you that you have a certain place in society.
Right.
You know,
and it's going off what you were talking about too, like, you know, how psychological it is and how it's, you know, tied to just centuries of, you know, you said the word oppression. And I think that that's very accurate. And I think that not only are these things passed down, like socially and culturally, like you learn these things, you know, there's also out there that say that like trauma and oppression can be passed down like genetically, like it can go super
absolutely.
Deep.
Absolutely.
I'm not the expert
speak
on that, but I do subscribe to that belief. Like I do think that these things can like rewire like just the fundamental
absolutely.
Part of your being, and then that gets passed on without even intention. It just gets passed on by reproducing sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that we're up absolutely. Against we're up against a lot of factors there. And you know, there are sure it can be the men, but also, you know, like women have also bought in, some women have also bought into the patriarchy as well, you know, like you always
absolutely.
Have people that might look like you or have things in common with you but are not, they're not on your team. They're not actually they still subscribe to the oppressive system that they were brought up in. So
right.
you know, you're dealing with a lot of baggage. And like you said, centuries of things being a certain
right.
way. And then
right.
now you go against the grain and, you know, you're working against a lot. But it's important, though, that, you know, those people that go out there and, you know, those pioneers that put themselves out there and start to change the way that women are viewed and change the way that people, you know, think of the things that women are capable of and start to rewrite
right.
those patterns. Teach their kids differently and hopefully pass on different things.
Right. And it will definitely entail a bit of rewiring because it is in our DNA.
Right.
All of these things
right.
that we've endured in the past, it is in our DNA, you know?
It is. And it's unfortunate, you know, one of the things like you just mentioned, and not to skip over everything that we talked about, but it really hit home with the who do you think you are? Like, I'm still on that. I'm still there, you know, because I see it so often. I see it so much.
Right.
And I see it a lot in the office. Who do you think you are? And I get that from other women, you know, who do you think you are?
Right.
I know who
right.
I am, you know, and I am owning all of it. I'm phenomenal, you know, but
right.
I'm not aggressive with it. I'm assertive. And, I tell my clients, you have to know who you are. Once you start doing that work,
you
right. start to come out of that oppressed mindset. And it's a shift in mindset, you know, then you can shift your behavior, change your behavior. And then you can start influencing the mindset of those around you, especially your loved ones who may
right.
inadvertently be oppressing you in ways that they don't even realize it, you know?
Right.
And
right.
within our friend circle, and I'm sure we all have friends that are at either end of the spectrum and some in the middle of the who do you think you are arena, you know? Those who want to know how you do it, those who looking at you like, why are you doing it? You know, we all have that, you know? And so I think it's really interesting. Kind of want to bring it back a little bit because I know quite a few women and have had clients who are in this predicament where, let's talk about how do you do it? You know, I know quite a few women who are not working and are reliant on their partner for their, you know, well-being and for just
right.
supporting them. And they feel guilty
right.
taking the quote-unquote house money to take care of themselves, What do you guys say to that? And how can, you know, give tips on how to start moving from that mindset? Like, what would you say to that, Tiana?
You know, I think that it all comes down to plan. Like, if you plan well and you can sit down with your family, with your partner, and like make a budget and factor in, you know, the kids get their activities, the kids have dance class or piano or basketball or whatever. And, you know, both partners also factor in things that they need to do as well. That way it doesn't feel like, you know, you're taking money away from the family, but that everybody in the family gets a piece of the pie, including me. Like, everybody in the family is using our money to do something for themselves. And like, I'm not included in that. Like, I don't just get to the food and that's it. Like, I'm also allowed to like have some of this go to me and to my well-being, you know?
Right.
So, like, you know, I think that's fair. You can budget more than just like the bare minimum of like sustenance for yourself,
right.
You know?
Right.
So I think that planning can go a long way, like setting that budget and having, you know, your husband or your partner like support and like, you know, be there with you in that process and like stick to it can be helpful. And again, it all goes back to that idea of like, if you're not taking care of yourself, like you are not going to be showing up well for your family. And so it might seem like you're, quote, taking money away from the family, but to be honest, like if you're not taking a little bit away to invest it in yourself, like you're showing up as, you know, not the full version of yourself that you could be. You're showing up tired or burnt out or snappy or anxious or depressed, or, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. So you can flip it and be like, my kids deserve more. Like if you can't, you know, put it on your, if you can't say I deserve more and you're still working on that, you can say my kids deserve more. My kids deserve to have them be present and healthy and happy. And I need to do what I need to do so that my kids get the fullest version of me that they deserve.
It's an it's an investment, right? It's not, I'm taking away. It's I'm investing.
You deserve it. That's a longer process, you know?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I would say.
And that goes back to having, you know, open discussions and conversations with your partner. And I think if you're in a union where maybe you're not working and your husband is the breadwinner, then it should probably be established that his money is the family's money. And so if you have to, you know, also wonder if you're going to be quote unquote taking money away to take care of yourself, then that sounds like it may be an issue of worth. And so if you're questioning your worth, then that's something that needs to be looked at and evaluated and discussed. I think because if you're a homemaker, then it should be understood that, you know, monies that are being used, you know, towards the household and the children and yourself, like that's okay. Like you can include yourself in taking money for the kids and, you know, doing stuff, and like money for yourself should not be a separate entity. And so that should be, I think, discussed and understood.
Absolutely.
Right.
Awesome.
Because you need to be healthy in order to have a functional unit. So like not just the husband has to be okay, and not just the kids have to be happy. Like everyone needs to be able to share in that. And if you're unable to do that as a woman, then it begins to weigh on you. And that'll affect many aspects of your relationship or marriage or your interactions, you know, with your children and friends and family. So I think that it's just important to just have open discussions with everybody involved. Mm-hmm. And if you're asking questions, you know, am I worth taking this money for myself? Then that really needs to be evaluated.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right on that, because it's more than the money sometimes, you know. It's why are we not doing these things? Let's get to the real root of the question of why we're not doing why we're not taking care of ourselves, you know? Whether it includes money or not. It's time.
Right.
You know, as well, do you not feel that you are worth your own time? Right. Do you not feel
that? And so that's a really good question.
Right.
That's a really big question. I have a friend that she would buy something, either dress or shoes, and she would hide it. And so I finally asked her, I said, why is this okay? Mm-hmm. And she would say, well, I don't want my husband to see it. And I said, why is it not okay for your husband to know that you love yourself, that you feel that you're worth that dress?
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
She was not able to answer that question.
She wasn't ready.
Why are you hiding things?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, it goes back to women being in certain roles, thinking that we're only supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and that we're not supposed to have X, Y, and Z. And so when you go out of that, you have feelings of guilt. And she was ashamed when she bought her little dresses. Mm-hmm. Why are you ashamed?
And wow. I think, too, you guys spoke, it is so much deeper than money. Like, that can be one.
Exactly.
But what about, okay, so you feel like you're taking money away from the household and you shouldn't do that. Okay, fine. But, you know, people make excuses for why they're not, like, taking 5 minutes to meditate or, like, mm-hmm. stretching
right.
or, like, things that are completely free. And they feel guilty right. about taking time for themselves to do that, too. So the question that,
exactly.
you know, not really money. Money is, like, the smoke.
Right.
So what you're saying is the deeper issue here, which is, like, you don't think you deserve these things.
Exactly.
Money is exactly. a scapegoat. Like, the real issue is a lot more complicated than just money.
Right, exactly. And absolutely. It's absolutely psychological.
It really is. And it actually brings it all back to the topic of guilt. Why do we feel the guilt? You got to ask the why, you know, and take all the fluff out of it and take all the people out of it and sit in your own truth with yourself and ask yourself, why do I not value myself enough to, dare I say, fight for what I need? You know, whether you're
right,
and I'm doing air quotes, fighting a physical person or
right.
yourself, you know, someone else or
right.
yourself or your ideology, you know,
right.
Where does that come from? And we can't answer that here, but it's just to really put that out there for women to start asking themselves, where does that come from? And why do I feel like I am not enough or I don't mm-hmm. value
right.
myself enough? And I place value right. on other things and other people except mm-hmm. for myself, right? So I want to wrap it up. This was an awesome conversation, and we could probably go another 2 hours going into, you know, unofficially the clinical side of it. You know, I'm not an expert
right.
by any means, but I'm a woman, and I have female friends, women friends, and, you know, colleagues, and I have a daughter, you know, and so talking to people and just hearing them out, you can hear the answer to the why and what they're not even saying to you, you know, in
right.
watching their behavior and their actions, you know, and sometimes it's really disheartening. It really is disheartening. But I'm so glad that we started that conversation. I wanted to at least bring different points of view and start that conversation and expose some certain things that we don't necessarily talk about. You know, there is shame, you know, not just guilt, but there is shame.
Yeah.
And here on Bench Talk, it's not all about corporate. It's not all about, you know, what are you doing in the office, how to get a higher salary and all of that stuff. You know, it's everything in between. It's your life. It's who you are. And we need to start asking questions and getting to the root of things. Just to bring it all back. You know, we need to ask ourselves certain questions, and sometimes we're not ready for those questions. And it's not like, you know, it's not about the things and the external. It's really about us and why we feel collectively guilt and shame for putting ourselves first and treating ourselves with value and respect that, you know, we deserve. And sometimes it's not external. Sometimes it's just internal and what has been passed down to us. We may have the most supportive people around us, but we're still doing those things that may not be the best thing that we should be doing for ourselves. Right?
Right.
So This was an awesome, awesome conversation. I really loved having you ladies on. Like I said, we could take this so many different directions because there's so many issues, unfortunately, still that we're battling, facing as women, you know, but I wanted to really just have the conversation and put it out there so that we can start, as women, start thinking about certain things and supporting each other. Really supporting each other and holding your sister's hand, you know, take a friend with you to go meditate, take a friend with you to walk, you know, if you're seeing that they need that, they don't see it for themselves, you know, reach out, you know, because sometimes people are looking for someone to reach out to them and show them the way because maybe they don't know how to do it themselves, right? So I definitely really appreciate both of you coming on today and talking with me on International Women's Day 2019. This was really awesome. I really appreciate it. Tiana, I can't thank you enough. I really love your insight and your your insight and your take on a lot of issues. And Lisette, I've known you for many years. we have so many interesting conversations. Definitely would love to have you on again. You as well, Tiana, because I think we can talk about so many different issues, not just women issues, just in general, you know, life in general. Because we all are going through something. You know, no one is alone in this world, and we all go through whatever it is, our battle is, our little thing or big thing. We all go through things. But my goal is to create a platform where we can talk about not just corporate and professional, our professional lives, our personal lives, because we bring that to the office. We bring that to our workplace. We bring that into the different relationships that we have, you know, so it's holistically looking at ourselves, you know, so I really wanted to create a platform where we can have open and honest conversation and get people to start thinking and talking and supporting each other. So ladies, I really appreciate both of you coming on and, speaking with me today. So really quickly before we wrap up, Tiana, any lasting words you want to leave to your sisters out there today on International Women's Day?
And say, you know what, if you don't believe you're worth it now, just fake it till you make it till you do, because, you know, you can believe what you want, but the truth is you have inherent value and you deserve to be treated like something of value, and you deserve to treat yourself as something of value. So you need to fake it for a little bit and just, you know, keep telling yourself it, even if you don't believe it, just to rewire those thought patterns, just stay the journey, stay with it, because you deserve to be happy and change can happen. So stick with it.
Awesome. Awesome. Lisette?
I agree. And so basically, I think as women, we need to understand that we are deserving of everything good in our lives and everything good in this world that, you know, people have to offer us. We absolutely deserve that. And so we need to continue with healthy relationships and to build on our sisterhood and, you know, continue to lift each other up because it's really important.
Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate this. Those are awesome words of wisdom today's special day today, International Women's Day 2019. Two lovely ladies. I am blessed to know Tiana came into my life in July of, was it last year, Tiana, 2018? Beautiful spirit. Recognized it once you walked in the room, beautiful spirit. And I'd love to connect with you again. And when I'm in New York, we will connect. Nikki, Lisette, she is in New York, Brooklyn. Is it Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn.
Our hometown.
Awesome. Perfect.
So,
funny.
Our hometown. So when my sister and I make another trip up there, we'll definitely hook up with you. And I would love to have her meet Brandon. He's awesome. I told her he kind of reminds me of our brother.
Oh, yeah. He is awesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was great, ladies. Really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Happy International Women's Day. And it's not just a day, it's a movement. We'll take it through us with us through the rest of the year. And I hope you all found some inspiration and some great words of wisdom in today's talk. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you.